Greetings, friends, and as promised, today we're going to start talking about the fulfillment of the second abomination of desolation by Titus. Now, where do we find a prophecy by Daniel concerning Titus fulfilling the second part of the second abomination of desolation? Well, it can be found in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. So let's turn there, please. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. It says, "After 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with the flood. And desolations are determined, and war shall be until the end." Now let's pause just for a second to go over a couple of key phrases here. It says that the Messiah would be cut off after 62 weeks. And then something happens after he has been cut off or crucified. What happens after this? It says, "And the people of the prince." Keep that in mind. The people of the prince. That's the first thing. The people of the prince. The second thing, it says that the people of the prince who shall come, which is obviously coming after the Messiah, shall do something. What are the people of the prince going to do? They are going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's the second part. Those are the two key phrases that we want to keep in mind. That the people of the prince, number one, are going to come and do something, and what they're going to do, number two, is destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's what we see in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. And we'll cover all of Daniel chapter 9 in depth in later programs, but right now in verse 26 is what I want to focus on. And what you see, obviously, is that this is a pagan ruler that's going to destroy the temple, which is in Jerusalem. That's what is referred to by the sanctuary. And also he's going to destroy, and these people are going to destroy, the city of Jerusalem. And obviously, along with the destruction of the temple and the city, is going to come the destruction of many of the people in that environment. The question is, did Titus do this? The answer is yes. Also notice that it said in verse 26 that this ruler had to rise after Jesus died. Did Titus rule after Jesus' death? The answer is yes. In addition to Daniel's testimony about Titus, let's call our second witness to the stand. Our second witness is Christ Jesus himself. After teaching in the temple for several days, Jesus left its precincts for one of the last times, and this is during his earthly ministry. He was choked with anguish as he saw the ultimate result of his people's apostasy. He exclaimed, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent to you, behold, your house will be left desolate." And that's in Matthew chapter 23 and verses 37 through 38. Jesus is saying, your house will be left desolate. Now, picking up the story in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 1 through 2, it says about Jesus that he went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said to them, "Do you see all these things? There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." This, my friends, is the prophecy about what Titus did in 70 AD. So we have from Daniel in chapter 9 and verse 26, where it talks about the people of the prince who shall come after the Messiah was cut off. This people, or these people of the prince that shall come after the Messiah is cut off, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, which is the temple. What does it say in Matthew chapter 23 and also Matthew chapter 24? Jesus is speaking and he says that your house will be left desolate. He says that the stones of the temple will be torn down. So we have two witnesses talking about the destruction of the city and the sanctuary. Now let's ask this question. Did Titus leave the house or the temple or the sanctuary desolate? The answer is yes. And I want to pause just for a second here to say also that when Jesus said, "Behold, your house will be left desolate," that this word house can mean nation, as it does in Luke chapter 1 and verse 33. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 33 it says, "He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This house of Jacob obviously is talking about his kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. So this is the nation of Israel. In this case, Luke chapter 1 and verse 33, house means nation. House can also mean temple, as it does in Luke chapter 19, verses 45 through 46, where it says, "After entering into the temple, he began to cast out those selling and buying in it, saying to them, 'It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" So it can mean, or house can mean nation, or house can mean temple. So again, what we're talking about is that the temple and the city and the nation were destroyed. Titus left all of them desolate. One of the questions I asked a few minutes ago is, did Titus rule after Jesus' death? The answer is yes. As a prince, and that's a key phrase here, as a prince, he ruled from 69 to 79 AD. Afterwards, he became actually the emperor. But now it's time to look at the history books to see proof that Titus fulfills the prophecies that our two witnesses, Daniel and Jesus, spoke about in reference to this abomination of desolation. This is a little bit of history here, so hopefully you'll be able to follow me, and hopefully you'll take down some notes. In 54 AD, Nero became emperor of Rome. In 64 AD, he burned Rome and blamed it on Christians, thus beginning Rome's official persecution of Christians. In 66 AD, Nero sets aflame the genocide of the Jews. The Jewish revolt against Rome begins with the massacre of Rome's Jerusalem garrison and the massacre at Masada. Then Cestius Gallus, the president of Syria, is dispatched to Jerusalem with a powerful army. He might, says Josephus, have assaulted and taken the city and thereby put an end to the war, but without any reason and contrary to the expectation of all, he stopped the siege and then departed. Now this can be found in Josephus's book, War of the Jews, and this is book 2, chapter 19. That's where he says that Cestius Gallus in 66 AD, after having assaulted the city, could have put an end to the war, but instead he stopped the siege and turned around and departed. And this was apparently inexplicable. There's a reason why that happened, which again we'll cover, God willing, at another time. But the point here is that then in 68 AD, 2 years later, Cestius was replaced by Vespasian. Vespasian, having subdued most of Judea, prepared to besiege Jerusalem, and he surrounded it on every side. But the news of Nero's death 1 year later in 69 AD, and soon after that, the death of Galba and Ortho and Vitellius, who were three other short-lived Roman emperors, after all of these things, it held Vespasian in suspense. So he, instead of going ahead with his plan to actually destroy the city of Jerusalem, he was waiting around to see how things were going to shake out. And how it shook out is that in 70 AD, and that's a critical year, in 70 AD, Vespasian was named emperor of Rome. Now, who do you think was one of the sons of Vespasian? Well, if you guessed it is Titus, then you guessed it correctly. Titus is one of the sons of Vespasian. If Vespasian is the emperor of Rome, then what does that make Titus? It makes Titus a prince of Rome. Now it's starting to fall into place, isn't it? When we look at Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26, what is one of the things I asked you to remember from that verse? I asked you to remember this part. The people of the prince. The people of the prince who shall come. This prince, Titus, who was the son of Vespasian, emperor of Rome. He came after the Messiah was cut off. Messiah was cut off in approximately 31 AD. Titus came after him as a ruler, and he ruled from 69 to 79 AD as a prince, while his father, Vespasian, was ruling as emperor. So it fulfills Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26 so perfectly and so beautifully. God does not waste words. Isn't it beautiful? God said, and the people of the prince. He had the Holy Spirit inspire Daniel to pen those words. The people of the prince. And Titus, as son of Vespasian, emperor of Rome, was the prince at that time. And he was the one who was appointed to come in Vespasian's place to destroy Jerusalem. So let's pick up this story. Again, in 70 AD, Vespasian was named emperor of Rome, and soon thereafter, he appointed his son Titus as general with the task of taking Jerusalem. On the 9th of Ab, which is AB, or some people will spell it AV, on the 9th of Ab, the temple and Jerusalem were burned to the ground by the people of the prince, i.e., by the Roman army, by the people that the prince controlled, the Roman army. He was a general, the chief general of the Roman army, so his people destroyed the temple and Jerusalem by burning it to the ground. Josephus estimated that over 1 million Jews died. Thus, the second desolation of the temple in 70 AD by Titus perfectly paralleled the first desolation of the temple in 585 BC by Nebuchadnezzar. On both occasions, abominations were first done by the apostate people of God, and these are the Jews that have forsaken Yahweh's covenant. And then, after these abominations were done by these apostate people, then the desolation of the temple, the city, and the people was brought about by a heathen army under the direction of a carnal king. And as I mentioned in the last program, both the first temple and the second temple were destroyed on the same exact day, which was on the 9th of Ab. How remarkable is that?
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.